First of all, thank you for doing this. Really appreciate your time. Mm-hmm. In reading a little bit about the new record, the one thing that really just jumped out at me immediately is that you wrote so lovingly about your Farfisa organ. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, does it have a name?
No. That's all right.
Sounds like it's got a personality, though.
It has a personality. It's a character in my life, a reoccurring character. I mean, I've traveled back to Santa Fe just to record with it multiple times. But I've never named an instrument. That's never really occurred to me, actually, now that I think about it.
Hmm. Maybe this one will be the first, if that's the case. You know,
it's so old at this point. I don't think it would respond to a name.
You never know. So I guess, you know, just jumping right into it. You really talked about how when you were recording this record, you really wanted to hear every creak and groan of the instruments. Was there anything that you guys captured on tape that just was so esoteric and off the reservation that you're like, we can't keep that in the record?
Yeah, you know, we stuck a microphone out on the street in Chelsea for a while and just kind of left it there. Mm-hmm. I think what we ended up getting, though, was radio frequency feedback, because we didn't realize it at the time, but we were right over a taxi dispatch, so we were getting nothing but radio frequency, and I couldn't quite find a place for that on the record, to be honest.
That's too bad. You know, when I heard you were doing that, it reminded me, you know, I spoke with Tom Waits right after his Mule Variations record, and he recorded at this place called the Prairie Sun Recording Studio, and he wanted to do the same thing. And there was one tune in particular where he's recording in a rocking chair and it was creaking, and so he made that, you know, the rhythm of the song. And you just answered my question about going outside, because you can hear roosters crowing on that record, and cars going by in the distance. But would you ever take the whole band outside?
Not after we did an entire album that way, kind of busking in the street, so to speak.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We did it for a French website called La Blagothèque, and we did the whole record like that, and I think I'm done with recording outside after that. But there is actually a lot of street sound on the record anyway, kind of taxis honking during some of the more ambient sections and things like that. Thunderstorms in Italy, although I don't know if that ended up there either. But it's there.
Yeah. You know, because I was listening for that. I spent the yesterday afternoon kind of outside on my deck listening to the record. And, you know, I'm going to have to listen louder. And when I was reading about how you guys, you know, wanted this so loud, you actually had to put your headphones on as earmuffs at some point. And I hope this comes across right. Your music comes across rather softly. How is it you're able to record at such a loud volume and still sound so soft?
It's all about the subtlety. I mean, these sounds aren't literally supposed to hit you over the head. But when you push them to those volumes, you get these strange characteristics you wouldn't otherwise pick up on a microphone, for example. But in the end, you mix it all in. I mean, the purpose of the music is to be pretty, to an extent. It's not to be jarring and noise-oriented or something like that. What I wanted was the character, not to make people angry or something like that. I mean, I'm joking, but, you know, I'm anything but avant-garde, for example. But yeah, to me, it was all about hearing the real, like, kind of human faults in the equipment more than anything. Yeah. But the songs are still the songs. It's just the way I write.
Yeah. Well, not to belabor the point, but, in that same spirit, have you ever wanted to create something that was just wonderfully noisy?
Yeah. And, you know, I've kind of done experiments in the past, too. Definitely as a teenager. I think I was trying to bend everything I could, essentially. But I think I've mostly kept those secret, to be honest. Not sure why.
Yeah. So you'd like to maybe one day tap into your inner Lemmy and get a big stack of Marshalls and let her rip.
No, but what would I put through it? A ukulele?
Why not? Yeah. See what happens, man.
It would be funny. You know, the truth is I just feel like other people do it better.
Yeah.
I think I have my sensitivities in music, the things that I specialize in and have kind of perhaps a talent with. And that's not necessarily one of them.
Yeah.
But there's great examples of it out there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So why add to the mediocre pile in that realm rather than, you know, do what I kind of do what I do best.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but I for my listeners that, you know, aren't so familiar with your story, I need to ask about kind of your obsession with geography, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, I mean, you look at just the name of the band and, you know, where you've lived and everything like that. I mean, I'm looking at the places you've spent time. New York, obviously, Berlin, Paris. You recorded this last record in Italy. Of those areas, which one would you say is the most musically fertile for you?
You know, it's funny is I lived in Istanbul for a time too, like over the course of like 3 or 4 years, I was going back and forth a lot. And the music I heard there was probably the most inspiring. But I also get the sense that it was out of my world. Like it crossed right over this boundary of something I could never truly understand in a way that to mimic it would be shallow and cheap or something like that. New York is a terrible place to write music because there's no focus. And there's often life is just, you're just too hard pressed to find time and patience and a comfortable studio to work in. This has got to be the worst city for making music in nowadays, at least the way it is now. It sounds like in the past, maybe there was a little more freedom to do so. And when I first moved here, I had, you know, this kind of empty abandoned loft space that me and the drummer and another guy moved into, and we could work all day and night, and that was great. So that being said, I've actually found Berlin to be the best by far, like without compare for me to work in.
Yeah.
And the people that are around that I sometimes work with, or at least I go visit in the studio and see what they're up to, are ridiculously inspiring because they're so focused on the work. There's no element of kind of social climbing or career climbing. There's no end goal.
Yeah.
The work is for the sake of the work and nothing more. And I'm obviously really inspired by that.
Yeah. Why do you think you are so fascinated with, you know, the world that's out there?
So, you know, it's funny because, yeah, it is so prevalent in my music and titles and such. And I've never really had a great answer for it, so I can give you a few attempts at me trying to psychoanalyze myself about that.
Go for it.
For me, it's just an extension of this kind of, I was a very kind of dissatisfied, restless teenager. I grew up in a beautiful part of the country, super unique and amazing, but I didn't really know it at the time because it's all I knew. It's very isolated too. And here I am working at this movie theater that's showing foreign films, and my head is filled to the brim with fantasy, and the whole point of it is this idea of escapism, to get out. And so, as soon as I hit a certain age, I dropped out of high school and I got the hell out of Santa Fe, and I traveled and I lived in all these places. And ever since then, it still represented music to me in a weird way, because music was also the other aspect of my kind of escapism. There was fantasy about my life and there was fantasy about music, and music gave me that. So I tied the two together in my mind and they became one and the same, essentially.
Yeah. So, where would you like to go that you have not yet been?
You know, there's this little island off the north. It's above the Arctic Circle. It's called Svalbard. I don't know if it's considered Norwegian or Swedish terpsichore. I think Norwegian. I want to go there.
All right.
I want to record an album in complete darkness in the middle of winter. Don't ask me why. It's been a dream of mine for a long time.
Oh, well, good luck. I hope you get to do that, man.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Now, you did injure yourself while you were recording this thing.
Yeah.
How did you cope with that?
Yeah, so I broke my wrist. This wrist has been broken so many times, it's hard to tell how many times it has been, because there's been times where apparently it was broken and I didn't know until after. And that was right in the middle of recording, so that was extremely frustrating. But in some way, that was a catalyst for moving to Berlin, mm-hmm. because it was during that time I really realized I've got nothing better to do. Mm-hmm. I can sit around and be frustrated that I'm not working, or I can go take a trip, or you know, at the time it was kind of like, let's go hang out with my cousin, Brody Condon, he's the one who did the album cover.
Oh, cool.
And in the artwork for all of that. And, you know, I'd stay with him, and me and him have been very, very close since I was around 19. And I met him in Amsterdam, where he was like living artist in residence at the Rijksacademy. And it was there during that trip and meeting friends and that sort of thing that it kind of dawned on me that I just kind of felt better in Berlin, mm-hmm. to put it simply. And it was around that time I decided to move. So that's how I dealt with it.
Yeah. Do you think that was kind of karma's way of telling you you needed to finish this in Berlin?
Yeah, these things tend to happen sometimes, yeah.
Indeed. Couple of softball questions, just to end on a high note, I guess.
Sure.
What do you think the coolest thing you've ever gotten to do as a musician is?
Well, there's a couple options for that. Let me think for a second.
You can give me both if you want.
Sure. One thing that comes up is early in my career, I think it was 2006 or 7, so I would have released the first record and maybe played a handful of shows, and I got flown to Moscow to play a concert in a park, and I just thought that was the craziest thing that could happen. But I feel like there's so much, it's kind of overwhelming to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of it has actually been dragging my parents around the world.
Mm.
My parents flew out to Sydney, Australia,
yeah.
when I played the Opera House there, which is pretty incredible. And then I dragged them to Istanbul as well to see a big concert there. And my parents, they're well-traveled in within the States, and they'd always kind of dreamed about getting out more. Mm-hmm. But they'd never really had good enough reason or time to do it. And so that's actually kind of an amazing thing as well, for that to happen.
Yeah, that I wish I had that luxury myself. That's impressive. All right, so finally, so those are the cool things you've gotten to do. What's something you still want to do? What's on the bucket list of goals for you?
Well, I mentioned the big one,
mm-hmm.
is recording this album in this kind of like Arctic wilderness isolation. Mm. I'm talking like seed vault isolation, you know, the one in Scandinavia. Outside of that, I don't know. Believe me, I'm not running out of goals.
Yeah.
I'm just in that weird limbo state where I've just finished a huge project and I'm starting this tour and all these things, where not only is my mind scrambled, but it's hard to pin down what is next, especially considering how much work they entail. But the truth is, the only thing I've felt like I truly need to do, unlike other things, it's like possessed to do, is to write music. So I think that's gonna keep going.
I think you're right. You're definitely heading in that direction, man. So I hope you get to do that for a very long time. Well, Zach, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know it's been a long day for you, man. So I'll let you get on with the rest of your day if that's the case. So,
yeah, cheers.
All right, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right.